Which tweet? What tweet?
About saying that it is a modern day lynching that.
Sorry.
Jesse Smollett.
Okay. So.
Happy Monday, Michael Malice here with a fresh week of Nightshade for you to hem and haw your answer to. Our first story, this is a big one that's kind of flying under the radar a little bit here in the U.S. As bad as things have been for Theresa May and her Tories over in the U.K., it's been a total shit show on the opposition side, Labour as well. And today, seven members of Parliament MPs have resigned from the Labour Party in protest of Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn's approach to Brexit and growing anti-Semitism. I can't think of any comparable event in American history. There's been senators who've switched parties. They've been senators who've gone independent. That fat guy from New Hampshire who was like 6'6", I forget his name. But in terms of a block of members quitting, sitting politicians quitting a party, I can't think of any. This is a really, really big deal. And isn't it? Shouldn't it be somebody? Somebody. Okay.
Once told me.
Oh, it's the Smash Mouth song. Somebody.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then here are their names: Chuka Munna, who at one point was up to be the leader of Labour; Luciana Berger, Chris Leslie, Angela Smith, Mike Gapes, Gavin Shooker, and Ann Coffey. These are not big names in America, of course, but these are not minor figures in British politics. Berger said Labour had become institutionally anti-Semitic, and she was embarrassed and ashamed to stay. So they're not even mincing words. They're saying... It's pretty clear what they're saying. When someone's not mincing words, I don't have to explain it. That's the whole point of not mincing words. Smart guy, Michael Malice. Corbyn said he was disappointed that they felt unable to continue working for the policies that had inspired millions of the 2017 election. Shadow Chancellor John McDonnell said the honorable thing for them to do would be to stand down as members of Parliament, and meaning quit Parliament altogether, and seek to return to Parliament in by-elections. Sure, good luck with that. Labour's deputy leader, Tom Watson, meaning the people who are left in the party, he said that the hard left needs to stop celebrating, and it's a moment for regret and reflection, not a mood of anger or a tone of triumph. Betrayal narratives and shouting insults at the departed might make some feel better briefly, but it does nothing to address the reasons that good colleagues might want to leave. Damn. Wow. You know, and what else is funny? What I hate is when people are lazy or cowardly and they want to be like, oh, everything, oh, both sides are the same, or this is the same as that. And like, both sides might be bad, but they're not bad in the same way, no matter what argument it is, right? There's going to be distinctions to be had. My favorite argument is when people tell me, oh, Hitler and Stalin were the same. I'm like, well, I'm here, so kind of matters to me which one I'm under. So it's interesting how in the UK, these seven left their party, and they didn't take a shot at Theresa May, like they would here for Trump. They didn't take a shot at the Tories. They're attacking their own party in the nastiest terms. And I don't, again, that's something we're not used to here. He continued to say that this decision to quit was a wake-up call for Labour over anti-Semitism, and said, we were slow to acknowledge we had a problem and even slower to deal with it. So what's fascinating is usually when someone attacks your party here, you rally the troops. No. They're actually defending the ones who left. Labour has to broaden out and become more tolerant. He said, I love this party, but I sometimes no longer recognize it. That is why I do not regard those who have resigned today as traitors. He's the shadow chancellor. So he's basically like Steny Hoyer, who's House Majority Leader, saying these things. That is huge. The seven aren't launching a new political. The seven, they're all back another EU referendum. They're not launching a new political party. They're just going to sit in parliament as the independent group, what they're called. But Chaka said they had taken the first step, and they've urged other Labour members of parliament to join them in building a new politics. He said, it's time we dump this country's old-fashioned politics. And, you know, created an alternative that does justice to who we are and gives this country's politics fit for the here and now, the 21st century. And he also said there'd be no merger with the Liberal Democrats, who have 11 members of parliament, and the group wants to build a new alternative. The Lib Dems, they're this third party in Britain that really doesn't, is neither here nor there. They're pretty useless. That's the Cliff Notes. They rejected comparison with the Social Democratic Party, which broke away from the Labour Party in the early 80s and merged with the Liberal Party to become the Lib Dems, saying this is a different era and that they would not be running in by-elections. Each of the seven took turns. This is what's amazing. So all seven of them got up to the podium, and one by one they twisted the knife. Berger said, I'm leaving behind a culture of bullying, bigotry, and intimidation. Leslie said, under Corbyn, the party has been hijacked by the machine politics of the hard left. This is honestly, if a Tory said these things, they're regarded as a loon. Because the corporate press will cover for the people fighting for their cause. So if you're a Tory, you say these things like, oh, that's crazy Tory, race-mongering, blah, blah, blah. Gapes said he's sickened that Labour is now perceived by many as a racist, anti-Semitic party, and furious that the Labour leadership is complicit in facilitating Brexit. So this is really crazy stuff. What's interesting is the dynamics is once the people who are like your opposition within your party leave, on the one hand, you lose the numbers. On the other hand, your hand is strengthened as the leader because your critics are gone. So we don't know how this is going to play out. Once seven are out the door, it could be that some others follow. It could be there's going to be a challenge to Jeremy Corbyn as Labour leader, as there was that failed before. It could be that some Tories start quitting the Tories and being like, you know what? The Tories suck too. Yeah, let's do this. So this is... And again, one of the points I've been making on this show and in my writing for quite a long time is that it's getting harder and harder to form governing coalitions in European politics. And right here we're seeing the beginnings of – because the UKIP doesn't have any seats really in Parliament. It's went from basically two parties to now what, like five? You got Tories, Labour, the Scottish Democrats – the Scottish Nationalist Party, excuse me, that's three. Then you have this group, so that's four already. So and Lib Dems, that's five. So from two to five, that is a huge, huge deal. And not that long ago, the Lib Dems were in government for the first time in, like, I think 100 years because they had to have a partnership coalition government with Cameron. So this is something I will be covering. And now something else I'm going to be covering, something even more horrific. It's time for one of my favorite segments on the show, God's Mistakes. Now take a look at this child murderer dressed as a nun. What are God's mistakes? He doesn't know. All he knows is how to get kids out of school so that he can murder and then rape them. But what you and I know is God's mistakes are the most effed up things of life on earth. Just like I effed up that sentence. And this is going to be a little bit of a mystery. We got a video. One of the coolest things before we play this video, one of the fascinating things that I love and I think everyone else finds interesting is animals that can create their own light. Whether they're bioluminescent using bacteria or phosphorescent using chemicals, it's just fascinating that you're walking along and something is living creation of light. So here's this one video. So, okay, this is what the animal we're talking about looks like at night, sitting on a branch. This is from Cambodia. It is not at all terrifying. And if I was walking by this in the woods at night, I would think, well, this is fine. And this isn't, you know, something from hell sent to watch me. And I think children should be around this and they would not think anything's abnormal at all. And you wouldn't think, like, you know, it's some terrifying monster that's about to eat your soul through your eyeballs. No, you would think this is fine. This is perfectly fine. So that is what it looks like, the light by itself. There's God's mistakes, and there's the show mistakes. After that, now this is what it looks like sitting on someone at night in the dark with the flashlight. Look at all those legs. Look at all those body segments. Look at that light. Look at how big this thing is. See? Takes away the flashlight. It's very bright, as you can tell. And that is very big. Oh, the pulsating of the last segment, isn't that fun? Does that make you not at all want to kill yourself? So, okay, good. We didn't have the musical cue.
We could if you want.
The third video we have, what's the third one? Just start playing it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, start playing this. So this is, okay, so this is what it looks like during the day. And if you look closely at the anus part, the last segment, it's pooping, but you could see it puts out this organ and pulls it back in. It like almost like feathery, like a fan. You can see that. So it's not just like a vent where poop comes out. It stretches out this fan thing and pulls it back in. Look at that head. Is it a centipede? Is it a worm? Is it a dog of some kind, some horrific dog child? That child murderer doesn't know. He's still dressed as a nun looking for... Can you imagine this thing crawling on you? And just like it's just so, so not fun. So what is this creature, you might ask? Probably haven't heard of it, because I hadn't heard of it. So this... Oh God! It's like a roach crossed with a millipede, crossed with a glowworm, crossed with like Satan, with the Halloween colors. This is Lampergera. Lampergera is a female firefly. That's the genus is Lampergera. That's the female. The females live on land and don't have wings. Show up the picture of the male. This is the male. Okay, so that looks much more like a regular firefly, even though they're huge. But it's easy to make out what this is. You know, it's somewhat understandable. What's insane about Lampergera, and the female, again, is much bigger than the male. Not only is it a giant millipede firefly monster with fans coming out of its butt creature, what do they eat? They eat snails and slugs. Play this last video. And what you can see what those things are out of its last segment are, they use it to clean themselves with it. They're like, it's like a car wash. So as that head stretches out to eat the snail, it's cleaning itself with its last segment at the same time. So those are like wipers. It's like they're squeegees inside its butt. Tell me this is, look, the one on the bottom right is cleaning itself right there. You could see it. It's using those brushes. It has brushes inside of itself to clean itself because you know why? When you're eating snails, you're going to get slimy. So you got to make sure you stay nice and dry because slime will make you rot. So that is today's edition of God's Mistakes. I had not heard of this creature until last week. And when I saw it, and I'm just like, my God, this is an absolute nightmare. Oh, here's the other funny part. There's lots of species of Lampergera in the genus, and not all of them have been identified by science. So there's plenty of them walking around Cambodia and all that area. So if you're going there, have fun. They're apparently not uncommon, and you could even find them in the city sometimes. Enjoy. Bon appetit. Hope you like your escargot. Our next story, Lara Logan, CBS foreign correspondent. She's getting in a lot of heat today. Because she criticized the liberal media. This is from Mediaite. She spoke to retired Navy SEAL Mike Ritland about a bunch of topics on his show this Friday. His show is called Mike Drop. Ah, that's such a bad name. His show is called Mike Drop. And the That's correct. That is absolutely correct. I fucking had to tweet at Wonkette because they said he's this a failed comedian or a wannabe comedian. And I'm not a comedian at all. I don't think they fixed it because they're fake news. And I don't know. I just saw a T-shirt for a second. The conversation turned to her agreement with Ritland that, quote, the media everywhere is mostly liberal, not just the U.S. I think it's way past liberal. I mean, I'm in New York. Everyone here is liberal in some sense. This is a totalitarian ideology. It's not like, oh, we should be nice to people of all races and immigration on the whole is good. This is way past just liberal. Oh, we need a welfare state. You know, people need a helping hand. Some, you know, rich should pay more in taxes. All these things, if this was just what the media was saying, everyone would be like, okay, that's, I disagree, people would say, but I understand this point of view. That's not where we are. This it's liberal is not, we need to ruin this kid's life because he made a GIF with the CNN logo. That is some complete other animal. She lamented that voter registration among journalists shows that the media is out of balance. And she had a metaphor to explain this. She said, visually, anyone who's ever been to Israel and been to the Wailing Wall has seen that the women have this tiny little spot in front of the wall to pray, and the rest of the wall is for the men. And she puts it, this is like what the media is like, in that the tiny little corner where the women pray, you've got Breitbart and Fox and a few others. And from there on, you have CBS, ABC, NBC, HuffPo, Politico, all of them. And she said that's a problem for her because even if it were reversed, that would also be a problem. My experience has been that the more opinions you have, the more ways that you look at everything in life, meaning the more opinions the audience has. She said President Trump's press conference is a case. Oh, my God. This article from Mediaite says case and point instead of case in point. Holy shit. I'm going to tweet at Mediaite after this show's done. I can't believe I hope it's a troll. Case in point. Guys, you're welcome. This is the host of You're Welcome talking. The expression is case in point, not case and point. Just like when you're... It's champing at the bit, not chomping. A bit is something that horses grind their teeth on. They champ at it. They're not chomping at it. Keep that in mind. And that is your lesson for the day. Okay, show's over. No, okay. It's a case in point of how the media produces distortion by boiling things down to there's no gray. It's all one way. It doesn't match real life, and something is wrong. She cited comments from Jill Abramson, former New York Times executive director, editor, excuse me, saying that the media has abandoned our pretense, or at least the effort, to be objective. That's Jill's words. And Lara also argued the media sources on the left or right regularly push their preferred narratives and do terrible things, and that the way the liberal media overwhelms the other side unless people actively have to seek out outlets like Breitbart. She also trashed news reports based on single anonymous government sources, calling it an abandonment of journalistic standards. She goes, that's not journalism. That's horseshit. Responsibility for fake news begins with us. We bear some responsibility for that, and we're not taking ownership of that and addressing it. We just want to blame it all on somebody else. And she acknowledged, this interview is professional suicide for me. Watch what they do to her. Watch, see what happens. You know why it's going to be a problem for her? Because even if CBS doesn't do anything with her, and they're like, okay, you said your piece. This is a valid point of view. She is now going to be championed by the right. And then it's going to be very easy to be like, Lara Loewen, comma, the alt-right's favorite reporter, comma. Like, why are you so popular with this group? And then she's done. That's how it's going to happen, I guess. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. And now, Ann Coulter, queen of the trolls. She was on Trump. Well, let's play this clip for itself, and you got to hear it to believe it.
And you know what? I think she's fine. I think she's good, but I just don't speak to her.
Joining us to respond to that is
the
Ann Coulter.
The Trump doesn't know, Ann Coulter.
Good morning.
Thank God he's relieved me of any responsibility for what he's been doing.
Well, let's discuss.
That was the biggest favor anyone could do to me today.
Let's discuss why. Because you've been...
The country's over. That's why.
Uh-oh. I saw that tweet that you put out
there.
I
hope you're enjoying having a radio show. Actually, your radio show can keep going because you barely talk about politics. There's really no point.
Exactly.
and now, anybody else talking about this is just fooling the rubes with the national emergency. Oh, and I noticed I just woke up before to call into your show.
Wait, you didn't see the press
pause
conference
this.
Live? You didn't hear him say?
Pause this, please. Here's what's interesting. There's this idea that she wrote a book called In Trump We Trust, E Pluribus Awesome. And there's an idea that's very much being put forward by, you know, some members of the corporate press that, you know, everyone who's on the Trump side, they're all in lockstep with him and blah, blah, blah. They've all drank the Kool-Aid. She's been hard on him for a very long time, especially on this wall thing. And it's good to see, at least, that she isn't making excuses for him from her perspective and be like, no, this is some straight bullshit. And it's also funny that he's throwing her under the bus for whatever reasons he has, maybe validly, maybe, you know, to diss himself and makes him look like more of a moderate, who knows. But it's a known thing that they have had meetings and she's advised him on several issues. So this is interesting that he's pretending, I don't know her. Go ahead.
No, I just heard that for the first time.
Oh, my God.
But I checked to make sure that I was right. It didn't take a lot of, mm-hmm. I didn't have to go to a tarot card reader to figure out, is the president going to totally F over his base? Went to sleep last night thinking, yes, I think the answer is yes. I mean, more than any other presidential mandate in the history of the nation, Trump's mandate was to build wall. Other presidents who allegedly, and, you know, to some extent did have mandates, LBJ not to get the country blown up, or FDR not to be Hoover and create Hooverville to do something about the Depression. But it wasn't for, you know, one specific policy, but moreover, any other president, Ronald Reagan, get the hostages home, win the Cold War, stop backing down to the Soviet Union. Yeah, these are mandates. But it was also, this is someone we trust as a competent man to run the government.
Pause
this
that.
Is a decent
wait, wait, wait,
person.
Wait, 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 what? Can you, what? Who has ever thought that he would be competent at running the government? Even if you think he's the best thing ever. We have no, if you can't tell me that if you've never been in politics, that you could just become president and you're going to be really good at it on day one. I don't see how that's even possible. It's just like if you're the best sprinter on earth and you go into a marathon or vice versa, there's going to be some transition period. This is the presidency. It's a really hard job from my understanding. I could be wrong. Maybe it's easy. But just because you trust someone and trust their judgment doesn't at all speak to their competence. It's such a – and the whole point is the presidency is – and this is hardly – thought that's original to me. The presidency is so big, it's very commonly believed by many people that it's too big for one person, that you really can't be competent because who can manage such a huge government by yourself? It's basically people under you who are doing the good stuff and or the bad stuff. Okay, let's play some more.
You want to be the commander-in-chief. Okay, none of that was true with Trump.
Oh, okay, yeah.
No one thought, oh, yeah, look, he was governor of the biggest state in the union.
Oh, okay.
He used to run the CIA. He was Reagan's vice president. He was, he was FDR's. No, it was one thing, the promise he made every single day at every
on his campaign
single
trail.
Speech.
Yeah.
So forget the fact that he's digging his own grave. This is just... look, the only national emergency is that our president is an idiot.
Well, you get no argument here.
Now, breaking on KABC.
Okay, well, I think there's a little bit more of this, no?
What do you think is going to happen with this money that he thinks he's going to be able to get by declaring this an emergency? Is it going to be blocked in the courts and he's just never going to get it done and now he can blame the courts?
Well, pause this.
I think that's what he...
I think it's really kind of impressive that she just woke up and she was just told, you know, the president was just talking shit about you on air, and that she could not even need to take a moment to process and be like, all right, we're doing this, and just start throwing fists, throwing, what do they call that term? Throwing, there's a term for that. Throwing punches. What's the term?
Haymaker?
No, throwing blows.
Knocking
throwing,
boots.
Tossing fists. What's the term? I just saw it on the internet. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's an old school term. Throwing hands. Tossing hands, yeah. Is it tossing or throwing?
Tossing salads.
Great. Is it throwing hands or tossing hands? It's throwing hands, right?
I've never heard that expression.
I would say throwing fists.
Wait, look up throwing hands on the internet. I think throwing hands is the one. I want to make sure I get my slang right, unlike people who just hear words and use them inaccurately, and everyone who disagrees with them is a snowflake. That's not what snowflake means, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, it's throwing hands.
Throwing hands, yeah. So I like that. Okay, good work, Anne. Let's play another minute of this, then we're going to get on to Biden.
And Jared and Ivanka and the rest of the Dream Team are hoping, because for some reason he really doesn't want to build a wall. Incidentally, he is not incompetent and an imbecile on every single issue. And I think it's worth saying this. Perhaps I'll write it up next week. My last column. Just kidding. I'm gonna spend the rest of my columns denouncing the president for the rest of my life. But in defense of Trump supporters and those of us who fell for his BS, oof. So you know, don't get on your high horse, Jillian. Trump has been perfectly competent at a much more complicated subject, the judiciary. Donald Trump. Until Brett Kavanaugh was presented to Donald Trump, he didn't know Brett Kavanaugh walked the earth. I promise you, to this day, he has not read one word of any Supreme Court decision, and yet his judicial selections, what does he do? What we expected him to do on the central reason he is president, immigration, farm it out to people who know what they're doing. Thus, I again, deeply, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank the president for saying we haven't talked for a year, because he wasn't listening to me basically from November 8th until then.
All right, that's enough of this. So she's turned on him pretty hard. And the thing with Trump, which is one of his best qualities, he's very thin-skinned and petty and vindictive. So for her to call him a moron and use such harsh, nasty language, I don't see how their relationship's going to get repaired. Obviously, she doesn't really give a goddamn at this point because she doesn't feel the need to carry water for him anymore. Why am I so red? It is so weird. Like, I'm so red. Like, look at this.
It might just be the TV you're looking
at. I know, but do I not look super red?
No, you look a little blue. No, I'm just kidding. You look great.
It's so red. I'm like Sinestro in this set.
Just be yourself, Michael.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. All right, speaking of being themselves, here's Joe Biden with a mask dropping, talking shit on the U.S. of A. While overseas.
I see values basic human decency.
Lively world star.
Not snatching children from their parents or turning our back on refugees at our border. Americans know that's not right. The American people understand, please, because it makes us embarrassing.
I'm sorry, I haven't heard him talk in a long time. The last time I saw him really talk was the debate with Paul Ryan in 2012. He's not someone who I pay that much attention to. I thought he was the strongest candidate to fight Trump because he's got a good sense of humor. He's amiable. In those debates when Trump lands those jokes, he'll just kind of laugh them off. He'll be able to handle them pretty well, which is going to be really key because that's going to be Trump's biggest weapon. He sounds really old now. He sounds like there's a denture issue. I'm shocked. And he doesn't even sound like particularly like serious and stately like Obama does, that kind of gravitas. He just sounds like it sounds like someone at the supermarket who sees the magazine cover and just stops complaining to the air, and you're supposed to like not make eye contact. It's like, okay, old dude, we get it. Okay, boomer. He's even earlier than a boomer, but play some more of this. Wow.
The American people know overwhelmingly that that's not right. That's not who we are. And when America leads by example at home, we extend our moral authority to lead abroad. The American people understand that as well. And so that's why there's such so much upset in America about this, what I call the struggle for America's soul. It goes beyond a single issue. It goes to who we are,
this is such
what we
double
stand
talk.
For. America is led not merely by the example of our power, but by the power of our example.
Okay, hold on. There's more of this, but keep going.
The example we're setting.
Christ. Clever wordplay.
Well, I should stop. The America I see doesn't embrace the self-defeating tariffs and trade wars that are underway. America was built on innovation and creativity. We demand to be treated fairly, but there is no one in the world, anywhere in the world, that we're afraid to compete with, if even there's close to a level playing field. Nowhere.
He's going to get eaten alive in the debates.
It's who we are, how we define ourselves.
This is terrible. It cuts off?
Yeah, that's the...
I thought at some point he calls us an embarrassment. Fuck. Okay, well, stay tuned for that tomorrow. He called us an embarrassment. That was the clip I thought we pulled. That's on me. I am shocked. This guy is going to get eaten alive in the debates. That is not someone in a debate who's going to do well with when you have 10 other people who are going to be hungry and high energy and feisty. He's going to fade into the background, and they are not looking for an old white man to lead that party. So I thought Biden had the nomination, was the front runner, just because of historical trends. Not anymore. All right. On that note, I will see you all tomorrow. And until then, sweet dreams. I hope they don't have diabetes.